Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Sam Altman will return as OpenAI's CEO, capping a dramatic standoff with the board that fired him. Plus, Israel and Hamas strike a deal to release 50 hostages even as their war rages on.
One question from the beginning is, can Hamas actually organize this? They have to locate all the hostages, hand them over to the Red Cross, and then transport them into Israel. This is a war. They're still fighting as we speak. So it's not over till it's over.
And Fed officials refuse to rule out more rate hikes as they fret over the possibility of stronger than anticipated inflation. It's Wednesday, November 22nd. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin with a major update following days of turmoil at OpenAI, as the company says that co-founder Sam Altman is returning as CEO, ending an impasse over who would lead the artificial intelligence startup after its board unexpectedly fired him on Friday. The move led investors, including Microsoft and staff, to push for him to be reinstated. WSJ tech reporter Tom Doten is here to fill us in on the details of what has transpired overnight. Tom, what do we know here beyond that Altman is coming back?
Right now, what they've announced beyond just the fact that Sam is going to be returning as CEO of OpenAI is that they have a new initial board that includes Bret Taylor, who is the chairman of this board, Larry Summers, the former U.S. Treasury Secretary, and then Adam D'Angelo, who also was on the previous board of OpenAI.
All right, so maybe some open questions there around what someone like Summers is doing on the board, but we can say that three of the four board members involved in removing Altman back on Friday aren't sticking around, so there has been a changing of the guard here.
Yeah, and these were board members that were really at the center of the tension that caused Sam to be fired several days ago. And so it seems like as part of the negotiations, those members agreed to step down, which one could imagine would probably relieve at least some of the tensions that caused this whole thing to flare up in the first place.
We should note that at the time of Altman's ouster, OpenAI's board had cited unspecified conduct by him as a reason for his exit. And it seems an investigation into his conduct is actually going to take place now. So that's not completely over with.
Right, exactly. And I think that was, you could clearly see as part of the compromise that had to take place here. In one sense, there was an enormous amount of pressure on OpenAI's former board to reinstate Sam. But at the same time, they had really stuck by their guns, as we have been reporting, to this initial claim that he had not been candid with them. And so it seems like Sam agreed to an independent investigation into these claims of non-candor.
Let's talk about Microsoft very briefly. This is OpenAI's largest investor. And after Altman's ouster, they had stepped in and said, we're going to hire him, and later that they would take on all of OpenAI's employees who wanted to leave. What do we know about their role and what's transpired overnight?
Overnight is actually really not clear. Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, has been one of the most involved parties in attempting to bring Sam back to the company. So would assume that the fact that Sam is back is at least partly due to the negotiations on Satya Nadella's part. But what we don't know right now is whether Microsoft is going to have some sort of role in an expanded board. And that is something that we had previously reported. They wanted to have more visibility into the governance of this company. They really didn't have any prior to this. And kind of famously now, Microsoft was given barely any heads up about Sam's firing. And so what will be very interesting to see over the next day or two is whether Microsoft does get the sort of visibility that they clearly felt they needed to feel more comfortable with this startup that is foundational to the company right now. And also they've pumped $13 billion into. So typically when you put that amount of money into one company, you want a little bit more oversight on it.
Right. And I guess we'll have to see what these changes to the board mean for the goals of OpenAI, which had a bit of an altruistic founding intent. And that was one of the fundamental issues hanging in the background of Altman's ouster in the first place, right? Whether OpenAI's mission was really compatible with the company trying to commercialize AI technology.
Yeah, it's a great question. And two of the members who stepped down from it had ties to this community of what's known as effective altruists, which are very focused on the safety of the technology that they're working on. And to some sides in this whole situation, the questions about safety really were central to the tension here. And so it's going to be very interesting to see if this board does expand in a major way in the next couple of days, weeks, whatever. Who is going to be appointed to this board? Are they people that have a history of publishing papers about AI safety and those sorts of things? Because that really will determine the makeup of the company going forward and the kind of mission that they are working to achieve.
And Tom, we'll also have to watch how employees react to this, given the tensions that broke out between them and OpenAI's board in recent days. Is it all water under the bridge at this point?
This just happened a couple of minutes ago, so it's hard to tell, but just based on the reactions online, it seems like employees that had previously said that they were planning on leaving the company or were deeply upset about Sam's firing are happy now. Sam is back. And so that whole scenario that was playing out a couple of days ago where Sam and Greg Brockman, the president of OpenAI, were going to jump over to Microsoft and hire everyone at OpenAI over to Microsoft, that won't be happening almost surely. And so one would assume that they're happier with the situation, but there's still a lot to be resolved here. And I really want to make as clear as possible that there's still a lot of things that need to be worked out. And just because this one thing was resolved doesn't mean that suddenly everything is going to be back to normal and the company is going to continue as it was.
That was Wall Street Journal tech reporter Tom Doten burning the midnight oil for us on this breaking news. Tom, thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks.
Well, in other developments overnight, Israel and Hamas have finally reached a deal ensuring the release of 50 hostages and a cessation of fighting in the coming days. Journal correspondent Jared Malson has been following the negotiations. Jared, you spoke to my colleagues on the PM edition of What's News last night about the deal that was taking shape then, and really many of the details seem to line up. Hamas is going to release 50 hostages in exchange for the release of 150 Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails. Tell us about the rest of the terms of what's actually been agreed to now.
Right. So this agreement for the release of these hostages also involves a 4-day ceasefire, the increase in the delivery of humanitarian aid to the southern Gaza Strip. Included among the hostages who will be freed from Gaza, there's expected to be, within the next 24 hours, 30 children, 8 mothers, and 12 other women released. And one other demand that Hamas made is that they wanted Israel to stop drone surveillance over the northern Gaza Strip.
In terms of the pause of fighting, is it all day during these several days, or is it just a matter of hours?
No. So it is a 6-hour pause during the day over each of the 4 days.
I guess that invites the question, what does this really accomplish for Gazans? You mentioned more aid coming in, but this is not people relocating, going back to their homes, anything like that.
Right. And that's one thing that specifically the Israelis refused to allow, is allowing Gazans who have fled from the northern Gaza Strip to the south to go back to their homes in the north. Really, this is a temporary reprieve for a few hours a day over the next few days, where people will be able to take stock of the destruction in Gaza. Obviously, it allows more humanitarian aid in to alleviate some of this very extreme situation where there's dwindling supplies of food, no running water, and no electricity for several weeks now. And it'll allow both sides in the conflict to really start to regroup militarily.
Oh, to regroup militarily. This is not a pause then. That's a prelude to an end of hostilities, maybe quite the opposite.
Right. It's a temporary pause. The Israeli government has been very insistent. They will not accept a ceasefire. They will not even use the word ceasefire. And that was essential to their being willing to accept a deal in the end. This is obviously coming at a time when there's a lot of international pressure on Israel to ceasefire and to accept a permanent pause in the fighting. And the interesting thing about this deal is that it opens the door to negotiations that might lead towards something like that. That said, we have to see how it goes. This all starts with the hostages themselves being released from Gaza and the Palestinian prisoners being released by Israel. If that goes smoothly, if those hostages come out alive, and if there are potentially further releases, that could open the door to those kind of things. But we have to see how it plays out.
That was Wall Street Journal Middle East correspondent Jared Malson. Jared, thanks for filling us in on this.
All right. Thank you.
Coming up, chipmaker NVIDIA hits an earnings home run, and we'll look at the downside of falling battery metals prices. That's after the break.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.
Well, we teased major earnings news from NVIDIA on yesterday's podcast, and the chipmaker has delivered, reporting through-the-roof sales thanks to the AI chip frenzy. Tech titans splurging on AI helped NVIDIA's sales to break records, with CEO Jensen Huang attributing growth to a new computing era and the rise of generative AI like OpenAI's ChatGPT. Here's Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher.
NVIDIA had a fabulous third quarter. Revenue more than tripled from the same period last year, hitting more than $18 billion, and the company projected $20 billion in revenue for the fourth quarter. And that's because NVIDIA still holds a key position in these AI chips, these supercomputing chips that power generative artificial intelligence that nobody else really has at the same level. And that allows NVIDIA strong pricing power, and companies are still lining up and waiting to get their hands on these chips. The only real challenge NVIDIA had in the most recent quarter is that the company admitted that new rules enacted by the federal government over exports to China will impact its sales were the only real blemish in the report, and that contributed to NVIDIA stock actually falling a little bit in after-hours trading after its results.
The price of battery-grade lithium used in the production of electric vehicles has now fallen more than 60% this year. That is according to Benchmark Mineral Intelligence and comes amid a wider drop in prices for nickel, graphite, and cobalt, with much of the declines attributed to a sluggish economic recovery in China, the world's largest metals consumer, after COVID-19 lockdowns. And while cheaper battery ingredients may offer short-term relief for car makers, reporter Scott Patterson told us that the price plunge is raising longer-term questions.
The mining companies that produce these minerals had been ramping up production as prices skyrocketed in 2021, 2022. But now a lot of those projects aren't looking very smart. They're looking uneconomic. So they're slowing down or even stopping some of these projects. The problem that's going to cause is the supply that's going to be needed for the huge increase in electric vehicles. The Biden administration is hoping for 50% of all U.S. auto sales to be electric vehicles by 2030 may not be available because it takes a long time to get a mine into operation. We're talking 10 years, 15 years sometime.
Officials at the Federal Reserve may not be done raising interest rates. Although the minutes of their latest meeting suggest they'll hold fire for the remainder of the year, those minutes also revealed that the Fed continues to see risks from higher-than-expected inflation and lower-than-expected growth. Since officials last met, several have said it's too soon to rule out another rate increase before considering a potential rate cut next year. That is contrary to market expectations that the Fed might begin cutting rates in 2024. And finally, heads up for those hosting a big holiday meal tomorrow. There is a decent chance you'll be accommodating a new and potentially unexpected guest, someone taking weight loss and obesity drugs. According to data analytics firm Trilliant Health, more than 9 million Americans filed prescriptions for Ozempic, Mounjaro, and similar diabetes and obesity drugs in the last 3 months of 2022, and that number is likely to be substantially larger now. For many taking the drugs, which help patients to lose weight in part by suppressing appetite, this will be their first Thanksgiving confronting potentially tense or judgmental conversations at the dinner table, or what psychologist Megan Petrick calls food pushers, who urge everyone to have seconds or thirds. The journal's Alex Janin spoke to experts about how to deflect dinnertime nosiness, and we've left a link to her story in our show notes, as well as a link about how to spin potentially thorny topics from the news into constructive Thanksgiving conversations. You're welcome. And that is What's News for Wednesday morning. Today's show was produced by Mohsen Ali and Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. And until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.